You are listening to the Mission Matters Podcast Network, where we amplify the stories of entrepreneurs, executives, and experts.
Hi, everyone. Paul Lang back at you again with What Matters in Trading and Investing, a podcast from my company, Discipline Trading Strategies. This is episode 14 for me, and it's called My Three-Legged Stool in Trading. I spent some time in prior podcasts. Part of the lesson was to discuss what you should not be looking at to try to make money in the markets. Again, whether you're stocks or futures or Forex, it doesn't really matter. I personally favor stocks for a variety of reasons I may go into in a future podcast. But it really doesn't matter because it all uses the same concept. We are looking at a chart to determine the battle between the bulls and the bears across the pertinent timeframes that matter. That'll come up a little bit in today's podcast about the three-legged stool. But my point was I spent some time describing what things you should not be looking at or trying to do to be successful in the markets. To me, as an instructor, as a person who has been with every tick of the market for 23, 24 years, it's very important to understand what not to do because that's where most people fall trapped. They get sucked into the wrong things. It's very easy to do because of watching TV every day and people explaining to you why things happen, but actually none of that is really true. I've done that in prior podcasts, but here's the next thing then is, well, if you don't do that, what should you do? Well, here's the beginning of the understanding of what we need to do to make money in the markets. I call it the three-legged stool. One of those legs is obvious because you've heard me talk about it a lot. The first leg of that stool is called a superior understanding of technical analysis. Let me go through that one first. If you want to see all three real quickly, they're down in the slide notes. We'll talk about the other two. They're all really equally important. You may argue that this first one is the most important because that's the basis that we use to make money. However, one of my favorite sayings is that good chart readers are a dime a dozen. It doesn't mean they make money. What matters is taking that money that you see on the chart and putting it in the bank. And that's what a lot of people have a hard time doing. So to me, it is an equally balanced three-legged stool. You will not succeed if you're missing any one of these support legs. But let's talk about the very first one, a superior technical understanding. There's a key word in there, a very key word, and it's called superior. Anyone can claim to have an understanding of technical analysis. I see it all the time. I see it every day. People send me charts, not students of mine, but just other people who are sending things to me for advice. They send me a chart and they say, oh, I played this off support or I played this uptrend. And I look at the chart and I have to say, what are you looking at? This is not support. This is not an uptrend. Maybe you learned that in the Mickey Mouse School of Technical Analysis where you just get these basic definitions and then you run out and try to make money. You need a superior understanding. And it's really not different than anything else in life. Anything you want to be good at, anything you want to make money at, the people that make money are not just okay at what they do. They're not just adequate. I'm talking about real professions. Obviously, there are certain jobs that can be done and the learning curve is not that high. But for many other professions, there is a high learning curve and only learning it adequately will never make you a top wage earner. You could read through law books and have a very good basic understanding of the law. You could go out and have a conversation with your friends and blow them away with your knowledge of the law. But if you went to court against a seasoned attorney, you would get smoked because you don't have a superior understanding of the law. Same thing for being a doctor, let's say. You could go read some medical books and you can understand and talk and talk and talk about how to fix this or fix that. But I wouldn't want you to operate on me if I had that particular ailment. This concept comes into play even more in trading because trading is one of these endeavors where on the surface, it seems so simple. You will hear stupid sayings like, oh, you just buy low and sell high. I saw somebody, somebody sent this to me. It was a blurb from some trading blog or whatever people were talking. And he just said, oh, you don't really need to learn much to make money from charts. You just follow the trend. That's all people ever tell you to do. Well, those are ignorant words from an ignorant person. It's very silly to say that, especially when we know that 90 or 95% of the people who come to trading fail. Now, I don't know where that number comes from. I don't know what fail means. It's just a number that's been out there. And I have to say it's probably pretty accurate, certainly for untrained people stepping into the market. The reason it's so important for trading is that you don't get paid for doing an okay job. If you're a carpenter or a bricklayer, and you go to somebody's house and you do an okay job, you get paid. Maybe the person's not thrilled. Maybe they want to hold some money. Maybe they ask you to do something over again, but you get paid for doing an average job. But in trading, if you do an average job, you actually lose money because the odds are against you if you don't have any good knowledge. And what's difficult for people to get is that even if you have an above average understanding of charts, the best you're going to do is break even over time. And one of those reasons is because some people reach a level in chart understanding that maybe, let's say, is a B rated. But combined with everything else, they never make money. So many people get stuck in what I call the break-even blues, where they get enough chart knowledge to just kind of be able to keep breaking even all the time, but never make any real money, nothing that they can rely on, nothing they can put in the bank. It's not until you hit that last level in technical analysis where you really get to understand, wow, here's where you make the money. Let me give you a quick analogy that maybe you can relate to. If you were to go to Vegas and play blackjack at a table, you know that the odds are that you would lose. It's 52% odds for the casino and 48% for the player if the player follows the rules properly. But what if I flipped that around? What if I said that you could own one table in a blackjack casino? Now you have the 52% odds. Would you now say that that is gambling? Well, it's not. It's not gambling, it's odds, but the odds are in your favor. However, 52 to 48 is not a great margin. I kind of relate that to trading. We never have great odds. We never have great margins. And you can see if you were the owner of that one blackjack table in a casino and you have that 52% odds, what would happen if you kind of didn't do what you're supposed to do? Maybe you hired a dealer, you didn't check him out, and it turns out that he's known for being able to steal, and he brings in his friends. You don't keep up on your camera systems, so you're not noticing, you're not observing the cheating that's going on. It does not take much to take 52% odds and bring it down to a losing percentage. You had the odds in your favor, you had a winning system, call it gambling, don't call it gambling, doesn't matter what label you put on it. If you have the odds and you can prove that and you can do it time and time again, you have a winning system. But if you destroy that system, you no longer have the odds. I look at trading as the same way. Think about it as being the owner of a blackjack table. You have to be very, very good at what you do. You have to be perfect because we don't have these huge odds. It's not like we can go out and goof up all the time and still make money. There are so many little nuances. The one thing that everyone says that gets an education from me is, wow, I had no idea there was so much you could learn in technical analysis. So leg one, superior technical understanding. I can't say it any better or clearer. I have found through time, and this is something I'm recently discussing with some of the free members of DTS, that people trying on their own just don't make it. I've come to that conclusion. I've always been encouraging to people who want to try. I tried many years ago. I couldn't do it. You need to get help in getting a superior understanding of technical analysis. Find a mentor if you don't like me or discipline trading strategies, but get that help because there is just 100% chance you're going to fail if you just try to go out there on your own and make it work. You can succeed for short periods of time. I don't want this to be a commercial for, hey, get education. What I'm here to say is that that is a solid leg of the stool that you need, superior technical understanding. Let's go on to the second leg though. That second leg is called math and probabilities. It's a gray area for a lot of people. Many people may not even understand it. It's maybe a little fuzzy because in a sense, it kind of gets wrapped up into a superior technical understanding. But I break it out because it encompasses a lot of concepts and it's very hard to explain in theory without actually being on the charts and showing you what I mean. There's a great trader called Mark Douglas, and I call him great because when I've read what he has said, I know he is a trader. I know he is a winning trader because he says things that I totally relate to that I think a lot of people maybe don't relate to. But one of my favorite quotes of his is that you don't need to know what direction prices are moving in order to make money. Now, some people look at that and they say that's nuts. No, I totally get it. That has to do with what I'm saying about math and probabilities. My version of it, the way I phrase it is I call it my moment in time. Moment in time is, in essence, finding the birthplace of a move. In other words, if you were to work backwards, if you took a weekly chart, let's say, on a stock that moved up for 10 weeks, and you went backwards to say, okay, technically speaking, where did that weekly chart actually begin its move, begin its uptrend? Where was that area? And then if you looked and you found that couple of weeks, then you went inside the weekly chart and you looked at the daily charts and you said, okay, if I knew that this move was coming, where would I come in on the daily chart? And you find the right day that actually set the bottom that began that move. And then you say, hey, wait a minute. What if I actually went inside that day and found maybe, let's say, a 15-minute buy or breakout or something like that that actually caused the move, that caused the daily, that caused the weekly to get in that trend. Naturally, in real time, it's very hard to actually find that, but that is the goal. Every move has a birthplace, and I call it a moment in time. My goal is always to try to find that, because if you find that, you have all of the time frames coming together behind you. That's the goal, at least, to try and do that or come very close to that. This has to do with this whole concept of math and probabilities to me. I also relate it sometimes to if you were to take a ball and throw it up on a roof, a typical A-frame house, you're playing catch off the roof with your son or daughter. You throw the ball up on the roof, it comes very close to that top ridge and it sits right at the apex of that house, sits there for just a moment. You may not know if it's going to go to the backyard or come back to you in the front yard, but what you do know is it's going to have a really big move. It's kind of the same analogy, if you will. It only really makes sense when you get to have a pretty good understanding of charts. Part of that equation also has to do with math. I don't want you to think of it purely in terms of reward to risk, because people really get messed up doing that. They go for high reward to risk stuff by simply saying, oh, I'm just going to use a tight stop and then hope for the best. That's the way you lose money hand over fist. The worst thing most traders do is run with tight stops. Tight stops are very, very bad. You don't want tight stops. What you want is to find a focal area that has a great potential of move to the upside or downside compared to what you need to risk to make it work properly, and then give that some extra room. But the math of it is what comes in here sometimes to say, hey, it's not just the odds of this trade working. You also have to combine it with where might I reasonably go? Whenever somebody comes into the trading room or is asking about it, one of the first questions they will ask is, what's your batting average? So that, again, is one of the most novice rookie questions you could ever ask. I could have a 70% batting average and lose money. And by the way, that's what typically a lot of traders do. They have a pretty good batting average. They still lose money because they lose a lot more on every trade than what they make. Conversely, I could have a 30% batting average and make money hand over fist. This combination of batting average and your average win is a loose interpretation of what expectancy is. And that gets into the math of this a little bit. And as a simple example, it may be to say, hey, you know what? I really am not sure if this is the bottom or not. But if it is the bottom, this is a moment in time and the move could be extreme. And though it may not even be 50% odds in my head, if it gets moving in the right direction at all, it's likely to have a really big move. So these are all things we have to incorporate in our concept of trading. And there's no way you can incorporate math or moment in time until you really have a great understanding of the charts. But once you have that great understanding of charts, you have to use these concepts to really get the odds in your favor to make good money. By the way, that math and probabilities concept, that leg of the stool to me, is one of the favorites. It's one of the ones that really turns the corner for people being able to make money. But then there's the third leg, and that leg most of you probably recognize. That leg is called psychology and/or experience. It actually encompasses a few different things. You probably just know it as psychological problems. If you're new to trading, you may say, what in the world is a psychological problem? You have this formula, you use it, it always works. Well, the problem is it's not a formula. Trading is not a formula. It's a method. It's a style. And it involves some subjectivity. This was discussed in earlier podcasts. So the problem is, what happens when you have a trade and is going toward your target? You're going to make some nice money. It comes up a little short of your target. You're just watching it and then it falls and it becomes a total stop. Well, what happens is traders start to get trained. They start to learn, hey, I don't like that feeling. I'm going to do something about that. And they take the target early. And then when it comes up short of that target, they take it earlier and earlier. And pretty soon they're taking just ridiculously small targets, and yet they still have their losses. This is one way that psychology creeps in. People have a tremendous fear of being a loser. You always hear about the psychology in the market. The psychology, of course, is fear and greed. But the really big one that moves the markets, that will make sure the markets always stay the markets, is fear. And it's the fear of being a loser. Not the fear of a losing trade, but the fear of being a loser. Unfortunately, for most traders, they feel they are a loser whenever they have a losing trade. So what happens is when they're in a trade and it starts to be green for them, whatever direction they're going, they can't stand the thought of it going back to being red. And they often will take it off with a small profit or small loss to avoid being a real loser of any kind. This really permeates through a lot of traders, especially if you're new, they never get beyond this point. They have a whole string of small winners, small losers. They never make any money. One of the most common phrases I hear from new traders is that they adjusted their stop to break even. That is, again, one of the most ignorant comments that a trader can make, because break even has nothing to do with the chart. It would be very rare for somebody to show me a chart where the correct place to manage a trade, to raise a stop, or to protect something was at their break even. It would be very rare that would happen. Break even is nothing more than a mental crutch for people, because if they stay break even or better, they're a winner. Once they go below break even, they're a loser. So this becomes their goal, to break even. Unfortunately, break even is not on a chart. Break even rarely makes any sense. But that psychological problem is so extreme that this becomes a goal for many traders, just to break even. And you know what? If you try to break even every day, that's exactly what you will likely do if you're good, if you're lucky. There are people that are good chart readers, that they can read a chart well enough to make money, but they never put the money in the bank. And the reason always comes down to this issue, the psychology. Psychology comes into play mostly for most people in managing a trade. Some people have a problem getting in, just the fear of hitting the button. Some people have a problem getting out. They take large losses because they just can't stand the thought of taking a loss. But most people have the problem in the management, trying to get from point A to point B. They never get there. I wrote an article recently when somebody asked me what I thought about self-improvement methods in order to become a better trader. In other words, go through psychological self-improvement. And when I thought about it, I wrote back and I started off, you may be shocked by this answer. I'm a big believer that psychology and trading is huge. I'm also a huge believer in self-improvement. However, I don't think the first step in being a better trader and overcoming psychological problems is self-improvement. And here's the reason why. The first step is confidence. You will never develop any good habits in trading until you get some confidence. Think about it. If any of you ever do public speaking, if you've ever done it in the past, if you are up there talking about a topic in which you are the expert, you are knowledgeable, there is never a question you have not heard, you are up there with confidence, you feel great, nothing is wrong. But what if you were asked to speak and you're filling in for a colleague on his topic and you only knew 75% of the topic and you started to get questions? You would be a different person up there. You would not look the same. You would not talk the same. You would have a different tone to your voice because you didn't have that confidence. I've spoken to large groups about trading, and I'm up there like I'm just sitting in my living room. I could care less how many people are listening to me because I know what I'm saying and there's not a question that I have not heard. Confidence is what helps make you good at whatever you're doing. Most traders never get confidence in their trading because they never experience proper trading, because they never, ever have that right string of wins that they can duplicate. So to me, overcoming psychological problems starts with first having a plan of what you want to do. Why do you need a plan? Well, so that you can check to see if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Then the second step is to build confidence through starting off with very, very minimal risk, even zero at first, and then earning your way up to risk $5, $10, $20, $50 through success only. You don't advance until you're successful. This will automatically make you be confident in your trading as you move up the money scale. Psychological problems are removed by getting confidence through a systematic progression of risk amounts, following a plan. That's how you do it. Now, along the way, if you want to make yourself a better person and get more discipline in doing things, that's great. But none of that's going to work. Improving yourself personally will never work as long as you are still clueless about what you're doing. Getting confidence in your trading, learning how to trade, learning that this trade should hit this target, that's what the odds are, will give you confidence to stay with it. I can't imagine a trader sitting there who really doesn't understand the charts well, having confidence to let a trade get to a certain number when they really have no clue if it's going to get there. It's no wonder people back off, take small profits, and have all kinds of troubles, and then blame it on psychology. It is psychology in many cases, but you have to overcome that. The three legs: superior technical understanding, math and probabilities, psychology and or experience. By the way, the slide says experience. I've used different wording. I think experience, in a sense, encompasses the process of gaining confidence. So whatever term you want to use, I think you understand what I mean. This is how you build yourself into being a great trader. Whether you want to trade stocks, Forex, futures, commodities, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It also doesn't matter what time frame. If you're long-term looking at weekly charts, if you're day trading on a 1 minute chart, it's all the same issues that come into play. The three-legged stool is the basis, the foundation from which you must base all of your trading. Don't fall for the quick fix things. If any of them worked, I'd be using them myself. Why wouldn't I? They don't work. They're all scams. What you need to do is learn your place in the market, learn how to read charts, and understand how to take that knowledge and put it in the bank. Superior technical understanding, math and probabilities, psychology, and experience. I'm going to keep doing these podcasts. I've got at least 100 topics lined up. If you like what you're hearing, subscribe so you don't miss any. Until next time, this is Paul from Discipline Trading Strategies. Good trading, everybody.
This has been a Mission Matters Network production. Listen to this show and browse our entire catalog by visiting missionmatters.com.